So I'm very excited to have my guest with me. We're going to start right now with one of our students. Go ahead, Kalia.
Hi, my name is Kalia. I am a foster student in Cohort 3 of the UCLA program.
Cohort 3, what does that mean?
Cohort 3 is actually the third group of students that they have brought in since the UCLA portion of the First Start program has started.
Okay, and how old are you?
I'm actually 17 years old.
Now. Are you a senior?
Yes, I'm a rising senior.
Okay, and so you're going to college next?
Yes, definitely.
Do you know where you're going?
I've been definitely looking into UCLA. Loyola Marymount University has definitely been one of my dream colleges, too.
I'm so glad you're here. Okay, so Karina, you run the program at UCLA Academy. Go ahead and tell us first and last name and what your title is, what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Karina Garcia, and I'm the Academy Director at UCLA. And I've been with the Academy for almost 2 years now, and I love every minute of it.
How did you find First Star?
Yeah, so I'm actually an alumni of UCLA, and when I was looking for jobs, I really wanted to be in higher education and college access. Mm-hmm. And when I came across, you know, the First Star Bruin Guardian Scholars Academy at UCLA helping foster youth go to college, I was like, this is perfect for me.
I love that.
You know, because my work is in youth development and making sure that all students, especially those who need us the most, go to college.
Okay, our second student with us is Samaje. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, my name is Samaje. I am a current student at First Star BGSA.
Okay, and how old are you?
I am also 17 years old.
You're a senior also?
Mm-hmm.
And what's your plan next?
I plan to go to college, you know, get a good career. Also be a good, you know, inspiration for my younger sisters who are also, you know, up and coming. Like I have one in, like, one grade younger than me, and I have another one in middle school, too. So I want to be, like, a good inspiration for them so they can say, oh, you know, there go my big brother. You know, he didn't went there, you know, too, so.
I love it. And what do you want to do with it?
I've actually been undecided, but coming to UCLA and with the YCs, I get to hear about different majors. Also, talking to my peers, I get to hear like what they want to do, see if there's anything I'm interested in, you know, and go from there.
I love it. Okay, so First Star, this is part two of my First Star podcast. I thought it was so valuable to give you guys a lot of breathing time to really share about the program. Peter, I'm going to have you introduce yourself again for part two here.
I'm Peter Samuelson. I'm a full-time film producer, and I'm the full-time volunteer president of First Star nationally.
So as the founder of First Star, which has been around since how long?
1999.
Which explains the T-shirts the kids are wearing here. Okay. When you look over and you see these students, class of 2019, you think what?
I think how splendid they are. How they are going to make us proud, how fundamentally there's nothing the matter with foster kids, mm-hmm. that a bit of love, consistent grown-ups, some academic help, life skills help, study skills, a little bit of help with self-esteem, and you can think of it as removing the glass ceiling. These are young people who the statistics tell us 440,000 foster kids in America, less than 9% go to college. That's absurd because you could say they need to go to college more than anybody else, yeah. because it's their pivot. It's their ladder out of their background. We say to them, you're not a victim. You're a survivor.
So my parents were foster parents and adoptive parents, so I do know the journey quite well. So Samaje, let me ask you, tell us what you want to tell us about your journey, your story, and being in foster care.
My journey was actually so unexpected. It's real crazy, you know, because, you know, when you live with, like, your birth parent for as long as I have, you never really expect to be departed from them. Mm. So it's just been really a roller coaster ride, but it's been cool, you know, like, I believe everything happens for a reason, and I believe that it was faith that brought me here, because if that didn't happen, that the situation I went through, I wouldn't have met such great people like Peter and Karina, you know, you guys, too, also wouldn't be here. So I believe, you know, my story is just a journey, really.
So you're using your story to propel forward. How old were you when you went into foster care?
I was real young. I was like 7th grade, so like 13 maybe.
Okay.
12, I was real young.
And you are with birth family?
Yes.
Yes.
I currently live with my auntie in Los Angeles, Nevada. Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah.
Well, God bless her for stepping up to be of support to family. I love the kinship kind of foster situations. Okay, so let me ask you, Karina. So you're meeting these youth in foster care. What have you learned about youth from foster care?
You know, I come in with the mentality that no matter what, they're teenagers first. And they're human beings first. And all human beings need love and that sense of belonging. And some of our students come in with pretty stable situations at home, and some of our students come from not so stable situations at home.
Everyone's different.
Everyone's different. And, you know, what I ensure in recruiting and training our staff who are working with our students is that they understand who our students are and that their main goal, you know, yes, the academics, yes, the preparation, that mentorship, but at the end of the day, it's being a family. And it's very interesting that Samaje, you know, it just brought up the fact that he's currently living in Las Vegas. And that brings back to the idea that we are family. No matter where you move, no matter what happens, you are still going to be part of this program. And we make the arrangements and all the necessary details that go behind the scenes to make sure that Samaje comes to UCLA every summer so he can be part of the program.
All 4 years. So, Peter, you have, to me, have always been an inspiration in the way you speak, your philosophy, your empowerment of youth in foster care. What do you want staff like Karina to teach? What lessons, what's important for you to have your staff know as they take on this very, very important job of educating our youth?
Well, I think we are trying to treat our students as whole people. You have to do SAT prep. You've got to do the math and the English and all the rest of it, because to be well-adjusted and not have the right SAT score, you're not going to go to the right university. Mm-hmm. In the other direction, you can have a fantastic SAT score, but if you don't have self-esteem and ambition and stick-to-itness, and if you're doubtful about yourself, you're not going to succeed anyway. So you need the whole person, all the ends of it need to be treated. And what I always think about our staff, I feel about our staff, even though they are employees, employed by First Star and by the individual universities, I also think they're volunteers. First of all, they work ridiculous hours. You ask Karina. It's absurd. And they have to tear up when there is something that emotionally resonates with them. It's not a McJob. You can't arrive at 9 and do it and go home at 5. Doesn't work that way. You are actually a role model to these young people. You are their encourager. You are giving them unconditional love and support. And you are their rock in a situation not of their making, where everything else is, you know, every few weeks you're in a new placement and, you know, it's hideous. Yeah. There's this thing called a 3-day notice. You get notice. In 3 days, you're going somewhere else. Where are you going? Well, we don't know yet, but it'll be somewhere.
Well, Kalia, I want to ask you about your story.
I actually found out about the First Star program through my school counselor. He called me to the office one day and he was like, I heard of this really great program at UCLA and I think you should sign up for it. I think you'd be great for it. And so I signed up and I actually got interviewed at home. And it just so happened that my neighbor was actually one of the media workers for the program, and she was telling me more about the program before I actually started.
That's so cool.
Yes.
So she vouched for it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
She was really, she was very encouraging to get me to start with the program, because when I first started, I was very shy. So I was like, I don't know if I'm really for this, should I go? It's like a lot of new people, new places, new things. And when I went, it was a very welcoming environment.
And you didn't know anybody?
No, I didn't know anyone at all. But by it was so crazy because we all went in not knowing each other. But by the end of the first meeting, everyone was talking. And it was so crazy because I remember one of the YCs were telling us, they were like, it's so crazy how you guys came in and it was hard to get you to speak and now we can't get you to
stop.
That's
a youth counselor, right?
Yes, yeah. The youth counselors.
Okay, and how old were you when you went into foster care?
I was actually 9 years old when I went into foster care.
And now you're also with birth family, right?
Yes, I live with my grandparents who actually became foster parents so they could take in me and my siblings from the system.
So Peter, you hear these stories, you look at these kids. I mean, very different upbringing from yourself.
Well, except that, yes, I mean, absolutely. But we're all human beings. And my life pivoted because I had a teacher, Mr. Lund, 10th grade English teacher. And he said, see me after school. And he said, you know, if you work twice as hard and I help you, you'll go to a really good university. And I said, no, I can't possibly. No one in my family has ever been to college. And my dad left school at 14. And he said, well, then it's even better, isn't it? Because you'll be the first one. Mm-hmm. And I look back at my life now that I'm old, and I say that going to college was my best ladder into the most productive life I could have. And I owe everything to it. And why wouldn't we give that opportunity? You know, we bang on about the American dream. But actually, it takes a bit of work. The American dream means we don't really care too much about your parents. We care about you. We'll get you educated. You'll work hard. You'll be a productive American citizen. You'll pay your taxes. You'll be a consumer. You'll have a happy family that you'll make. And that is the American dream. It's that ladder. So, but we have to do it. And these young people are beyond any other group in the country. They need and they have the right to that ladder. And I'm telling you, you put that ladder in front of them in a first star academy, they're climbing up it as fast as they can go.
Well, let's talk about the academy. So, Karina, talk about the academy. They start for in the summer, right? It's during summer break. Other kids are on vacation or just hanging out or working a summer job or doing whatever they do. But you guys kick into gear with your academy.
Yes, we are actually currently on day 3 of our summer academy at UCLA. We usually do our recruitment early winter into the spring, recruiting graduating 8th graders who are promoting into high school. And we recruit a cohort of 30. This year, I had to extend it to 34. We have 34
good candidates.
Yes, because they were very strong candidates. We had an interview session and a meet and greet session with our staff. Our young 8th grade, 9th graders walked into UCLA looking so sharp. And they were so engaged with our staff that we just had to let them in. And we are currently on day 3 with the program. So these are brand new students on UCLA campus.
Recruiting them winter, spring for the summer academy.
For the summer academy. Okay. And they live with us for 2 weeks on campus, 24-hour programming. And in the school year, they come back in September once a month on a Saturday. We provide transportation. We provide food and 6 hours worth of programming on a Saturday. And the curriculum complements everything that we do in the summer. We do it all over again in the month of July where they come back and live. Every year we add days to our summer program. So currently we have a cohort of seniors living for a whole month at UCLA. And we have a group of freshmen who are there for 2 weeks.
So Samaji, you're living there right now?
Yes.
Okay, so what was your first introduction to college, a college campus?
Actually, this was my first introduction. I actually went to a college campus before. It was at Cal State Dominguez. Through this program, I forgot the name of it. It was this program back in middle school, and they took us to like a college tour on Cal State Dominguez.
So your eyes were already open to college.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, okay. I already seen like how a smaller scale would work, and I just loved that. I was like, oh yeah, I want to go. to one of these. And then coming to UCLA is like, whoa, you know, it's just like, I've never seen any, this one way bigger than what I had seen before. And then you can just tell it's just so full of life and, you know, so many different people and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
Peter, is it fun for you to live vicariously through these young people? I know it is for me when I see the energy and their light in their eyes.
Oh, I think it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's like watching flowers grow. Mm-hmm. You know, I given just the opportunity of First Star, these are young people who are suddenly the glass ceiling falls away and suddenly they're imagining what they can be. Mm-hmm. And of course, who do young people, who do 9th through 12th graders want to be like? Who do they want to look up to?
The cool kids on the college campus.
The cool kids on the college campus. And you've got, you know, 25,000 of them at UCLA. And it's the best possible environment to encourage young people to expand the envelope of their own self-expectation and to realize that they actually can be whatever they want to be. They just got to put one foot in front of the other, work hard, we'll help you a lot. We say, if you fall off the ladder, we'll put you back on it, but you're the only one that can move your feet up, rung to rung.
So, Maji, you're now on the senior level of the academies. Over the years when you've been on the campus, what have you done?
We've done many of things, mainly they really just want you to get to know yourself, because as you must know, when you go to high school, it's change, you know, you change in personality. And I think one of the First Star BGSA things is being with you throughout the change. And then you get to see so many different personalities just within, like, your peers alone and the YCs and youth coaches they hire. So, you know, just really, like, they're here to create a family. And then they have us also focus on academics a lot, too. Like, we currently doing 3-hour SAT prep classes, like, every morning. So they really make sure, like, we're focused. They strict, like, no sleeping. You know, like, you know they really want us to really go far.
Do you feel like you are different than other kids in high school? I mean, that you have this team prepping you for college? Like, where would you be without it?
I feel like this is a boost, you know. I never really imagined where I would be at without this, but you know, like, now that I got it, I might as well take full advantage of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And
so you're working hard.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. Is it hard for you?
Not really. I mean, some challenges here and there, but, you know, that was life without challenges, really, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So, Karina, let me ask you, the program for the seniors, this is like the last year, official year for them with First Star, right?
Yes.
So what do they need to accomplish during this program this summer?
Yeah, our theme this summer is college and career. So we have a lot of different programs in place this summer to really focus on prepping for those college applications that are coming out this fall, where our seniors will be applying. And a lot of the professional development and those soft skills that Peter mentioned about learning how to budget, learning your finances, applying for financial aid, making sure that you're also successful in college. Peter brought up the statistic that, you know, less than 9% go to college, and it's about 4% who actually get bachelor's degrees. So we really try to do our best our final year to really prepare them for that college transition, because we want to make sure that they go to college, but also graduate college.
So, Peter, you know, living in Los Angeles, we're dealing right now with the homelessness crisis. I'm well aware of the numbers of incarceration when it comes to youth and foster care. You're really trying to make a societal shift here.
Yeah? Yes. I think, you know, society can't just be allowed to coast along. I think we have an affirmative obligation to shove it forward, and also to, what's that saying? A man never stands so tall as when he reaches down to hold the hand of a child in need. In the end, we're defined, I think, by how we take care of this American dream thing that we spend so much time talking about. But you actually have to do it. You have to say, these are children who, through no fault of their own, have ended up in foster care because of some history of abuse or neglect. What do we want? Do we want homelessness, indigence, you know, the judicial system, incarcerate? Or do we want to say This is 440,000 Americans. We'd actually like them to be productive, middle class, educated. We would like them to have healthy families and raise healthy children who also go to college. It's a generational thing. This is the pivot that is not just taking one of these splendid young people to a far better place than they would otherwise have been able to get to, but it's also taking all of their descendants with, and as you just heard, it's such a strong influence on their younger siblings and on their cousins and so forth. Because once you see that someone can do it, why wouldn't you do it?
So Kalia, how has First Star focused you? Where might you be without First Star?
Honestly, I'm not exactly sure, because I know before First Star, I had my doubts about college because none of my siblings had gone to college. My parents didn't go. My grandparents didn't. And so I was like, why should I be so focused on doing something that's just like out of the ordinary for my family? And I was just kind of just going to see where life took me. But once I started with First Star, I actually got the feel of how the environment is and what it's like, and to have aspirations in life. And it's more to life than just taking it by, like, as it is, you know? And I wanted to go to college, yes.
That's interesting, that you have to participate. You have to play a role in that chapter.
Definitely. Mm. And as I came here, I started to break out of my shell, and I learned things about myself that I didn't know about myself before, and I actually am definitely looking forward to college. I've gotten involved in a lot of things. I've actually gotten started with my acting career. It's definitely something that I want to continue
when
with.
When in L.A.
Definitely. I've done, like, a few projects with, like, Netflix and things here and there, you know. So, like, First Star is definitely, it's definitely opened me up a lot over the years.
Very good. Very good. All right, so Peter, how can the public help out? What is the ask here for the public? If the public's listening to this thinking, I like the concept, I like the program, how can we be involved?
So very specifically, and the point of contact would be through the website, which is firststar.org, F-I-R-S-T-S-T-A-R, one word, .org. We need all sorts of things. We always need money. Anyone who wants to make a tax-deductible donation, God bless, there's a place on the website to do that. We're also always very interested in role models, speakers, someone who comes from a hard knocks life, and they can come and sit in the armchair and they can talk to either 30 or 60 young people and say, this was me. This is my trajectory towards my productive career. We just recently had a young woman who was actually Miss California, but who grew up after the most horrible family history, grew up in foster care, and she came to our academy at UCLA, and her name's Christina Meredith, and she was the most amazing speaker. And then in the Q&A that followed, one of the things I'm always humbled by is how open to sharing our students are with each other. I mean, they're talking about stuff that's very, very difficult to talk about, but they're doing it and they're sort of unpacking it in order to conquer it. And it was a remarkable session. And the fact that she's now an officer in the United States Army and such a role model. And so we're always looking for people to come and lift up our students by meeting with them and talking to them. We can use volunteers. It's not straightforward because they have to be life scanned and so forth, but it can be done. And it's all on the website. We're also expanding. If there's anyone out there who happens to be a university president and thinks, you know, this could be really cool, this would be great for my university community, it would be a mecca for volunteering, and it would make us proud. And furthermore, I became an educator because I believed in the American dream and access to education mm-hmm. for young people from every part of life. They should be in touch as well. We're expanding hand over fist. I mean, we now know, because our outcome stats are impeccable. I mean, think of this. 9% of American foster kids go to college, as opposed to 45% of non-foster kids. Our kids, 90% go to college. Wow. In other words, think of this.
Staggering.
With foster kids, twice as high a proportion are going to college out of our academies than middle-class America sends of its own kids. Furthermore, less than half of American foster kids graduate high school. Every single one of our 12th graders in the last 3 years has graduated high school across the country. Every single one, 100%.
Okay, so let me ask you some final thoughts here. So, Kalia, you're in your senior year. You'll be taking those college tests next year?
Yes.
And do you foresee yourself coming back to be a part of First Star?
Oh, most definitely. I always tell everyone, I was like, I definitely want to come back and be a youth coach to everyone, because I feel like once I leave this program, it's like it's a piece of me, you know? I'm definitely going to want to come back. It's like a second home. So I definitely want to come back home.
And Karina, let me ask you, as you are the director of the First Star UCLA Academy, and you think this is happening in other states, other schools, what kind of difference do you feel that you as an educator are making?
You know, one of my favorite, and I believe the best poets of my generation, Tupac Shakur, once said, "I may not change the world, but I may spark the brain of somebody who will." And those are the strong words I like to live by in the work that I do. You know, it does take a village to raise children, especially foster youth. And, you know, for all of those working with foster children across the country, you know, my message to them is to not give up. Our students need us. And we have to put in all the time, the energy, the effort to love our foster youth.
All right. So, Maji, paint a picture for me of your senior year.
I hope to get involved a lot more, you know, definitely see myself walking across that stage, you know, finally get to say I did it, you know, 4 hard working years, you know.
High school graduation.
Yes, you know, most definitely applying for colleges, you know, staying in contact with the people I met in BGSA, you know, like Peter, Karina, and even Kalia said, you know, this is a big family here, and I don't want to, and, you know, make the relationships and stuff I'll have, I want to keep, you know, going, most definitely.
Do you feel like you've met some of your best friends through First Star?
Most definitely. I have, you know, another friend, almost like, mainly like a brother to me. His name is Gennaro, you know. We're so alike. It's weird. You know, you would think we're brothers. And, you know, you would never expect to find someone, you know, just like you in the most uncommon place, you know. You would just expect, you know, you would expect people from your situation, but when you meet somebody that's almost exactly like you, it's odd, you know?
Pretty cool. Do you feel like even though you meet other kids from foster care who are not in First Star, that you're perhaps a bit of an inspiration?
Yeah, you know, I try to share my wisdom, especially since, you know, coming to First Star, I have the knowledge, you know, that I learned from them. So it's also like I can go in and tell kids, you know, who are not in First Star, you know, like, oh, you know, this is what I do, and or this is what I learned. You know, I even tell some of my homies who are not even in foster care. I tell them, oh, you know, I go to UCLA and we do all these types of things and they get me prepared. And even one of my moms said, wow, you know, I want to go there. And I said, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, I'm most definitely happy that I came, you know.
An inspiration. So, Peter, as we ask for a final thought from you, as you look back on your life coming from England to Hollywood, becoming a producer with working with the biggest of names like Steven Spielberg, did you ever think this would be part of your story?
I didn't, but I feel as though it's what I'm called to do. And, you know, film producers are, we're a funny lot. We're very entrepreneurial. You go out with something that doesn't exist yet, and you pitch it to people, and you get them to act in it or direct it or pay for it or distribute it, whatever. All we had to do here, I think the only thing that's really bizarre, seriously, it needed a film producer, not an educator. I'm not an educator. I don't have, you know, a teaching credential. All I had to do was to talk about young people who are equally capable of making productive lives as Americans, given half a chance, and how straightforward it would be to use the leverage of big universities to house, educate, and encourage, while they're in high school, foster kids. And I said, I promise you, I didn't know whether I was telling the truth when I said this before it existed, but I said, I promise you, we will get at least as high a proportion of them into college as any other group of Americans, middle-class Americans, whatever. But think of it, we get twice as many in. Twice as high a proportion of our foster kids go to college as all other American young people. Twice, 90% versus 45%. It's extraordinary. Not rocket science. Love, consistency of grown-ups, academic help, life skills, encouragement, you know, deal with whatever PTSD kind of stuff they're carrying with them. But they're splendid. They're an inspiration. And they, you know, I jump out of bed in the morning because I'm going off to do First Star stuff.
I love it. Well, I'm so grateful you all would take time out of your program this summer to come down to Olympic and Bundy here, our location for our Fox 11 podcast. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
All
Thank
right.
you for having Thank us. You.